Welcome to the Negative Positives Podcast, episode 403. I'm your host, Mike Gutterman, coming to you from the Gutterman Cave here in a sort of springy Louisville, Kentucky. A little chilly, but it's, the tides of spring are starting to roll in, and I'm starting to like it. But it's a Monday show. It's kind of a listener interaction show, and we have two of our glorious co-captains here. Let's go out and find out which co-captains we have. I think you should know, because we're kind of it's the Three Stooges here tonight. And we're going to start out in Los Angeles, California, La La Land, the City of Angels, Mr. Andre Dominguez. How are you doing tonight, Andre?
It is the first sunny day in L.A. in what feels like the past 3 weeks. Most of the month of March, L.A.'s been underwater with record rains and flooding, so... Yeah, today was a good day. It was the first day I didn't wear my rain boots to work in a long time.
Your galoshes?
No, they're proper rain boots.
I think they're galoshes. I think that's what I'm going to picture that now. All right, and I guess also out in California, I guess maybe the man responsible for bringing sunshine to the Golden State, Mr. Mike Kukavica, the Drunk Darkroom. How you doing tonight, Kooks?
Hey, I'm doing good, Mike. Glad to be here. Glad to hear your voice. Sorry. Did that come across flat? I hope it didn't mean to.
It's to be fair, you had some travel woes.
Right.
I'm running a little less than normal amount of sleep. So, but that's not an excuse. So, sorry about that. I mean, come off this belly flop right out of the gate. You know?
I don't really ask anybody to act excited about hearing my voice after 400 and something episodes. You know, that's the reason we're changing this podcast. We're trying to get less of my voice. That's the reason for the changes. So, but
come on, Mike, selling yourself short, buddy.
I am 6'3". I'm not selling myself too short. So, you know what I'm saying. all right. I guess it's been a bit since we kind of caught up, and I do want to kind of quickly say a big thanks to Mr. Dave Mahaly for sending in his first edition of the Old Camera Guy podcast that we aired a couple weeks ago. And Dave has sent a couple other editions of that podcast that we will be airing on this feed. Big thanks to Mr. Dave Mahaly for kind of taking us up on, allowing other people to use our airways. And if you heard that podcast, you kind of get an idea of kind of what we're hoping some of these other fine listeners will do in the future. But for now, you got to listen to us again and again. And Andre has sent in an episode, and Kooks has sent in an episode. It's really kind of coming together. We're trying new things around here, and if you guys like what you're hearing, let us know. Or if you don't like what you're hearing, let us know. You can always, we'll take criticism. You know, we're big boys, but So let's go ahead and catch up, Mr. Andre Dominguez. We usually start with you. What have you been up to, brother?
Oh man, Kooks is a mentor to me in many areas of life, but one of those is in the darkroom. I mean, what he's able to create, 100% optically analog while under the influence of alcohol is truly astounding. And following in his footsteps, the Dominguez Darkroom is back in business, baby. May have taken me a year and 4 months, but I actually did complete making the prints for my portion of the Silver Linings project. There's two of the 8x10s I still need to mail out because I ran out of stamps. But it has been a very interesting journey getting back into the darkroom, relearning all the stuff that I forgot. I've been playing around with the Intrepid enlargers, the compact, and then the 4x5 kit, which they are sending me a new one because the first one just randomly malfunctioned and I can't get it to work again. So thank you to the folks out there at Intrepid. I've got three different 3D printed easels by Tim Soderstrom of Bit by Bit Photography, recommended to me by Mr. Kukavica here. Just really rocking and rolling. I've got more paper than I've ever owned at one time, thanks to some very generous clearance sales over at Freestyle Photographics here in Hollywood, and some late night unscrupulous B&H purchases. So really, really enjoy getting back into things. I'm finally getting to the point where I can spit out a print in record time. I mean, the longest I've taken to get pretty competent final print, and granted, I'm picking like negatives that are not the hardest thing in the world, has been about 40 minutes. And most amount of paper that it's taken me for 5x7 has been like maybe three sheets, four sheets total. So that's better than I've ever done. So I'm very, very happy.
So we should preface this the Silver Linings talk. Andre is talking about the 2021 Silver Linings that he has completed.
Hey, better late than never. You know, the important thing was encouraging people to make their donations. The prints were just an added bonus. And you know, with certain things in life, I take my sweet time. I waited until I was ready, and with some poking and prodding from some members of the community, as well as some free time opening up here on my end, everything came together when it needed to.
So basically, what you're saying is if you were a winner of the Ghost Challenge photo contest, a little poking and prodding would go a long way to get Andre to send those prizes out, right? To the, what was that, the 2019 Ghost Challenge contest, something like
Some poking and prodding would be necessary in order for me to spend some time looking for where I put those prizes and go back and re-listen to the episode and reach out to people and be like, hey, do you still live at this address? I know it's been like 4 years.
Well, I have kept the list of those winners because I knew you would misplace the list that I think I've probably texted you, I don't know, a good 10 times at this point. But so I do still have the winners of that.
But hey, I mean, I'm on a really good track right now in terms of getting things out there. I've already made some prints for my coworkers here, working on a few prints for my watchmaker friend that, you know, he hasn't ever seen the darkroom prints from the shoot I did with him like 2 years ago. So, you know, this might be an encouraging note to everybody out there that you can get better.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, I got this little thing in the mail today. Here's a little note in here. It says, "Dear Mike, I hope this mailer comes as a nice little surprise. It's Silver Linings project time, a year and 4 months late. My new darkroom setup is working really well, and I honestly think I can get in some printing time once a week." And then there's a misprint on his typewriter, and then it says,
Little
"I'm starting a recurring print exchange with Roxana and Suzanne Lopez. Kooks and I will be taking a RA4 class in April. But I think most of my color prints will still be on the Epson." There is a misprint because it's HP that he should be talking about there, not Epson.
Oh shit, did I say Epson? Yeah,
You did.
I was pretty drunk.
I just can't beat that instant ink price that Epson does not have, but HP does. So he didn't say that. I'm adding that in there for. Has Grant started printing his work? Does he have an Instagram I could follow? Anyways, wishing the whole family well. Talk soon, brother. Sincerely, Mr. Andre Dominguez." And in this little mailer is a print. I'm assuming this is Mr. Dominguez looking down. Luckily, like it's like looking down at his feet. He's holding a skateboard, a Kodachrome branded skateboard, and much and like any distinguished gentleman, wearing some Converse Chuck Taylors, and so that's good.
I was thinking of you. It reminded me of you.
Yeah, and fortunately, his crotch is kind of in the shadows, and but
Very very careful placement of the shadows there. I don't want to highlight the nether regions.
Right. And it looks like some good Bon Jovi jeans going on here. There's some holes in the jeans. Looking that's what the kids are doing these days, you know.
Those are my skating jeans. Are they all have rips, and the rips were not caused by just, you know, buying it ripped that way. They were from me sucking at skateboarding. So
Nice. Nice. All right. So, well, thank you, Andre. That's very nice. That's a cool print, man. It looks like, I feel like I should, I feel like I, that's the cover of like this month's Thrasher magazine. And,
Hardly. But, yeah, no, I've really enjoyed making these little 5x7s. One of the 3D printed easels that I'm getting from Tim Soderstrom is a 4x6 one, and that'll really be great because then I won't really have to contend with any lateral cropping, and I can spit them out real quick. The idea is to, you know, barring any other plans, at least once a week, spend some time printing. I've got the setup and teardown really, you know, down to as minimal as possible. So I'm excited to be doing it very frequently.
Very nice. Well, Audrey, is that pretty much you? Are we ready to move to Kooks?
Pretty much me. I mean, Kooks and I are going to be...
going on a date? Hot date?
Oh, boy. I mean, he's coming over, we're getting drunk, and we're making some prints. If that's not a date or that's not true romance, I don't know what is.
Nice. Damn right.
It's funny you said that. I was just, right before recording, I was just watching the movie True Romance. Either one of you seen the movie True Romance? Christian Slater and, what's her name? Shoot. I'm not gonna think of her name.
That tickles like the corner of my brain. Like that goes so far back.
But yeah, it's like an early Tarantino thing, and Tarantino was involved in it somehow, I believe. But it's got a lot of the guys that Tarantino usually uses. Christopher Walken's in it. Dennis Hopper. It's good. It's a really good movie. It's not Uma. Oh, it'll hit me. I got to stop thinking about it. It'll hit me. And then right in the middle of the podcast, I'll yell her name out. So, it's a really good movie. I hadn't seen that movie since probably the 90s. But, just watching it right before you came out here to record. So, True Romance is a good movie. All right. that was a weird rabbit hole going down there. But, all right, Kooks, what have you been up to, man?
Oh man, well, if I start off on Saturday, I was working on framing a couple things. One for trying to get my stuff ready to get back to the farmer's market and see if anyone wants to take some of my work home. But one of the things I realized is, you know, I should actually frame some of my own work and put it on the wall, especially since we had that big kind of renovation thing at our house. And my man cave got painted, so I got freshly painted walls, and there's no holes in it. And,
you know, did you go with like a black light paint, so you could have like a psychedelic put up black lights and
No, did not do that. But you know, it's funny you say that because a friend of mine, his ex-wife, when they were married, she loved like black stuff. So like their walls were painted so dark. And so black stuff and everything. And they ended up splitting up. And actually, I saw him not that long ago. And he's got the place redone. And it's all like light grays. And all, it's like, man, it's so much lighter. So much lighter. Right. And so much like happier. You know,
Patricia Arquette. Patricia Arquette.
Oh, there you go. Yep. All right.
I just had to stop thinking about it, Daniel. Yeah. Definitely. Christian Slater, Patricia Arquette. There you go. All right. Okay. All right. Now we can move on. Sorry. But,
I had actually a couple of years ago, I had bought a print from Heather Palasek, one of her pinhole prints that she made. You know, that lady, she makes her own pinhole cameras out of like old tins and like little, you know, like Altoids boxes and like cookie tins and stuff like that. And she's got like a bunch of land somewhere in New York, and she'll just put these things up and forget about them. And one of them she found after like almost 3 years, it was like 868 days. Mm. And it's gorgeous, man. The lines of the sun going across the sky,
you know,
consecutively. Oh, so I cut a mat for that and framed it. And so I've got that ready to put on the wall. So that's it's a small accomplishment, but it's kind of cool to do that. That was like part of my Saturday. Hearing Andre talk about printing in a darkroom makes me jealous because I haven't been able to get it to get back in there and get going. I mean, my setup is so much better than it was. I'm way more organized now. And you know, because like I said, whenever you do some sort of renovation in your house, especially if it's relating to flooring, I mean, it's it makes you clean stuff up and like optimize and organize and throw stuff away, right? So it's or Goodwill, but still, it's it is a lot of good stuff that happens from that. So, but I just haven't actually been able to get in there and make any prints, but I know, I think Andre and I are going to get a chance to talk to that guy, Tim. And that guy is really cool. I mean, there's no shortage of people that are doing 3D printing to make things for photography, right? That guy Freeman Lin makes the press pan cameras, and there's people that does other things. But Tim, he makes like a bunch of interesting tools, especially for the darkroom. And one of those are those speed easels. So, you know, sometimes having a four-bladed easel can be a little bit of a hassle. What he does is he 3D prints like one for 5x7 paper that's like the base, and then there'll be a top, and you can have different aspect ratios if you want mm-hmm. to have a border or whatever. And so you just kind of put the top on it, and it just makes that whole process super simple. So as you would say in the business, that's a little bit of a teaser for when we talk to Tim sometime in the future.
Nice.
But yeah, I used his 5x7, and then more recently he made an 8x10, and I did use that too. And it just takes the friction out of setting up an easel and be able to get things where you want. So I guess that's not really what I've been doing, but to follow on with what Andre was saying, that I was like, yeah, that's definitely a cool product. I guess one other thing I did a couple weeks ago, back when I was in school, I probably would have never admitted this to anyone because they had just made fun of you. But yeah, I got to actually see William Shatner in person.
Mm.
Right. So up in Michigan, there's a theater up there called the Redford Theater, and it's 95 years old, something like that. They'll do all these crazy things like Three Stooges marathons and stuff like that. And they did a screening of The Wrath of Khan, and Shatner was there and did like a talking. He talked for like 2 hours after.
Oh, that's very cool.
Really cool. Yeah,
nice. You got to meet Captain Kirk.
Well, I didn't get to meet him, but I was only not that far away from him. He was like right up there. But yeah, and the guy's almost 93.
Yeah.
So. Go ahead.
He's doing well for 93, it seems. Yeah. Every time. Wow.
He had plenty of energy. I mean, and he was talking, but my favorite, he went on for about 2 hours, but my favorite thing was he was talking about, if you ever watched the original series, right, they mostly did that stuff in studio, but there was like a couple times that they did some on location stuff, like out in, wasn't quite the desert, but there's like these big rocks, and I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere around here, obviously.
That's where one of the guys that what was it when they were wearing a yellow shirt or something, you knew they were going to get killed or something, like
the guy with the red shirt.
The red shirt.
Someone you hadn't seen before wearing a red shirt, they were boom gone. But the funny story was that, you know, driving out there, he had to get up real early in the morning to do it. And he was like, hey, you know, if I put my costume on before I leave, I can sleep in a little bit longer because then I won't have to, you know, get dressed when I'm there. And so, he's driving out there wearing his costume and, of course, like speeding like crazy. And he gets pulled over by a police officer. And he's like, he gets out of the car and he's like, I'm a starship captain. I got to get to my starship. And the police officer's like, okay, go ahead. Let's just let him go. It was just, I can't relate it the way that he did it, but it was super funny.
Strangely, when I get pulled over on the way to Ford in my Ford uniform, doesn't seem to work for me. But,
Oh, man. No, you and I don't have that kind of luck, man.
Right. Oh, man. Oh, wow. You know, you spoke of people making cool things. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the show, but one of our members of our Facebook group, Jim Anderson, he's making basically developing reels for a lot of different, he makes quite a few things, actually, but different formats. So he actually has APS developing reels and and everything. Yeah. And
nobody shoots that anymore, surely.
Well, I mean, it's the hottest trend in film photography. It's taking a little storm. But I need to, I have like a kind of a I have one that I kind of rigged up that semi works with APS, and I mean I've been able to develop APS with it, but mine is definitely not as sophisticated and as eloquent as Mr. Jim Anderson has manufactured here. So I probably need to buy some of these APS reels from him, because I got a lot of APS film I want to start shooting, and but Mr. Jim Anderson, if you check him out on our Facebook group, or maybe try to find him on Instagram if you need some reels for some different formats that aren't normally readily available. Looks like he's doing some really good work with that stuff. So just a little shout out there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And every time I hear someone say Mr. Anderson, that's I hear it in the voice from Matrix with that guy.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, sorry. I just as a thought. But you know the voice. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anderson.
So, we got a lot of
non sequitur there.
A lot of Hollywood trivia on tonight. It's it's kind of nice. It's different for us, but we actually sound like we're film nerds in a way. But yeah.
Well, hey, I'll say this much. One thing I did do is at that thing with Shatner, you know, they threaten you to get thrown out if you brought a camera in or like even try to take a picture with your phone. And so I was like, but I got to take a camera with me. So I'm like, what is this? What is something I could get in there? So I took my XA2, which, is tiny, didn't make any noise or anything.
Sure.
But in the end, I probably should have pushed my luck a little harder, because there was people with their cell phones that they were actually even letting them go up by the stage and take pictures with their phones and stuff. I'm like,
right.
You bastards, it just locks are for honest people. You know, that's the old reminder about that. But I did get a couple of good pictures. I mean, it was probably, it was so wide. We were probably 20 rows back or something. So it was kind of
right.
The backs of people's heads and you real little bit of shatter. But one thing I did do was set up a tripod outside and take a couple of pictures of the marquee in the place. And I think I even got one of maybe some taillight trails of car driving by in front of the place. So, and of course on 800T as it should be, right?
Right. Right.
So anyhow, it was a little addendum there.
Reminds me of, in the 80s and the 90s, when you went to like a big time rock show and like a big stadium arena show or whatever, you'd always see people way up in the stands and you'd see like flashes going off, and you know like all they're getting is like the back of heads of like the three rows in front of them, and then blackness, like
yep.
Like, I always love that.
Yep. And, totally.
Just what we had to deal with back then. So anything else, Mike?
No, that's good for me, man.
All right. Well, I was going to do some shooting. We went out with my son right before I had to take him back up to college to finish up the spring semester. And we went out to eat. And I was hoping to do a little walking around and stuff. But I got flustered because I have this camera. And it's this little Kodak APS camera, and I love it. It's tiny. It's like the size of a deck of cards, and it actually takes really good photos. I kind of call it the Stylus Epic of APS cameras, because it's a really cool camera. And I have a half finished row of like the old Kodak. It's the only black and white film that I think you could get for APS. I'm not sure if Fuji did it or not, but I know Kodak did the chromogenic, the C41 black and white for APS. And I only have a couple rows of that stuff. And so I have a half finished row of this C41. It's like the BW400CN or something. So I finished like a half row when we went and visited him up in Ohio during the fall semester. So I was like, I want to finish that row up. And then so I spent a good hour before we left to try to find that camera, and I cannot find it. Like I guess it's so small, I've misplaced it somewhere.
Oh, no.
And it just made me so angry. And by that time it was, the family's ready to leave and go get something to eat. And I'm like, I just gave up. So I didn't even take a camera at all. I was so flustered. Like it's driving me crazy. Cause there's some shots in there I really want to see. And like that I thought were pretty cool. And, so I don't know. I gotta start digging again, but I can't imagine where it would have went. I wouldn't have left it around anywhere, but so I don't know, but so that kind of sucked, but I do want to get out some shout outs. And the weather's starting to warm up here, so it's actually giving me a burning yearning to shoot film.
Oh, that was terrible.
Well, if I don't creep it up some point in this podcast, it's not really an episode now, is it? But I want to get
some kind of cringy. Right.
I want to get a couple of shout outs here, though, man. Like, there's a couple of podcasts that have come back that have risen from the dead. And some people have already mentioned this. But if you haven't noticed, Mr. Ted Vieira.
Yeah, man.
Photography Matters is back. Ted's been putting out a podcast again. You know, the greatest voice in film podcast or photography podcasting is back. And so we get to hear the yeah, man, again. It's back.
Yeah, man.
And so it was good to see that Ted is active again. And then also someone else has been in our community. And he had a podcast a while ago, and he's come back. Mr. Ian Turpin has a podcast called The Ordinary Photographer, and it's kind of more of an educational photography podcast, and so he's back at it too. So it's you know, we lose a couple of podcasts in the last several years, but we got a couple that have come back, so it's it was good to see. And let's see, what else do I have? Any other shout outs here? Yeah, Uncle Jonesy's Cameras podcast number 58. Kevin was gracious enough to use some of my music, and I think he was surprised that I'd put out some acoustic guitar music, and so he gave me a little prop there. So I appreciate that, man. And also Classic Camera Revival. They had an episode where they had an interview with a guy from Ravini Labs, and Alex put in like a whole one of my songs at the end of the podcast, and that really made my day. I was just listening to Classic Camera Revival like I always do, and at the end of the show, one of my songs comes on. I was like, wait, what's going on here? That's pretty pretty nice there. And and also I got to also shout out Mr. Jamie Maldonado. He's still putting out excellent videos, and he generally uses one of my songs in the videos. And big thanks to Jamie for the support there. So yeah, very, very cool. So that's kind of my shout outs and everything. Oh, there was one other thing. When Grant was in town for Bill Manning has texted me. I'm going to try to get Bill Manning on this episode, by the way. So he's ready, it looks like. So Oh, that's another thing I should mention. Bill Manning and I was on the episode that just came out today, the Music and Photography Podcast with Mr. Billy Sanford. He had Bill Manning and myself on an episode, and that is out as of today. So thanks to Billy Sanford for having Bill and I on. That was a good time. So I want to get that shout out there for sure. And oh, but when Grant was home, he asked me if I had a camcorder. And I'm like, yeah, I've got right? I got like an old, I forget what it's called. I think it's Digital 8 or something like that. Camcorder uses like a Digital 8 tape cassette or whatever. And he's wanting to record some video in the old school look. And it just reminds me, man, like, gosh, everything old is new again, right? Everything old is cool. And which means Kooks and I are pretty cool people now, because everything old is cool now. So,
well, you are, Mike. I don't know about me.
I thought you were saying that you're not old. Not, I didn't know you realized you're old.
No, I'm old. I'm old. I just don't know if I'll ever be cool. I don't know if I ever was. I don't know if I ever will be. You are though.
You're cool. I see your profile picture with the hipster glasses on. Man. I know you got something going on here. All right. Well, let's take us a break here, and we're gonna get Bill Manning online here, because we're gonna give away the Atlanta Film Company film that Bill Manning offered to give away on our 400th episode. So we got a box to shake and a winner to draw out. So we're going to take us a break, and we're going to get Mr. Bill Manning online here. So how about that? So yeah, a little surprise, right? Thanks. So we'll be right back, folks. Thank you. right, folks, we are back from the break, and it's the second segment, and we have someone has joined us. As I mentioned at the end of the first segment, we got Mr. Bill Manning from Atlanta Film Co. and the glorious fame of Studio C41 here on the line with us now. So, hey, Bill, thanks for joining us. How you doing tonight, man?
Yeah, no, thanks for the invite. I feel like I was on a show with you just about a week ago. Yes, for some reason.
Exactly a week ago. And that show I mentioned in the first segment did come out today, Mr. Billy Sanford's Music and Photography Podcast. And there was one particular part, one question that Billy asked us, and Bill Manning went first and got all philosophical, and then I had to find some damn way to freaking try to follow it up, and that was not easy. So, but yeah. So everybody, check that out. It was a good time, and thanks to Billy for having us on. That was a fun time. But doing a fine job over there on the Music and Photography Podcast. But also doing a fine job, and obviously, Bill, we need to have you on because in the 400th episode, you graciously sent a call in and it was going to give away some film. So,
did I? I must have been really drunk if I did that. I don't know. Are you sure? I'm trying to remember.
I have audio evidence if it's
needed. Okay. All right. Well, I guess I did. So,
So we're gonna say that to the end of the segment. Just keep people on the edge of their seats. And but before we get to all that, Mr. Bill Manning, what do you got going on, man? I saw some new kind of a message in the union, the podcasters union thread, about something you might be doing new for the Atlanta Film Co. So tell us what you got going on over there.
Yeah. So one of the number one requests that we get for Atlanta Film Co. is when are you going to do 120? So, you know, we really want to take in everybody's feedback, and you know, Christina and Michael and myself, we look at these options and say, hey, is this totally doable? And so we know the obstacles and the limitations going into it. And so I said, okay, well, let me just buy one can of 65 millimeter and see if this is like, let me just see if I can do one. Right. Mm-hmm. So like one can is 1,000 feet. So I hope that I can get one out of it. And the first one was abysmal. Like it just was not good at all. And so the second one, got it into a roll of backing paper and took it out for a shoot and got it processed in, just because it's quick and easy, in the negative supply. Jeez, look at this. The CineStill film, the CS2 Cine negative chemistry, and I got negatives, and they're in their all right places, and the spacing is right, and it ended right at the 10th frame where it was supposed to, because it was nice. 6-7. And it looked like I know what I'm doing. So apparently now that I got one done, so I need to come up with a system and do it over and over and over again. And I don't know, maybe there'll be some alpha testing, because I'm not even at beta testing with this, right? You know, uh-huh. This is just, let me just make this. And so it's the first one was ever made, and it's successful, and I'm going to take it to back to Dunwoody Photo and get it scanned in and see how they come out. So I'm ecstatic that we're, you know, the first test was successful, but there's still a very large hill to climb with all of it. So
sure.
So you're having listening, to, oh, go ahead.
You're having to actually slit, or as we were talking in the pre-recording here, sort of circumcise the film in a sense, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Dark places that we end up in the break, right? So, So 65 millimeter film is not quite 120. It's actually a little bit larger than 120. So 120 is roughly around 61 millimeters. So you actually have to slit off 2 millimeters off on each end of the film. There is a guy out that has an Etsy store that has a slitter, and you can have a custom one made to whatever width that you want. So essentially mine cuts 65 millimeter into 61 millimeter. Now the challenge with all that is that you're doing all this in the dark and you're dealing with sharp objects, right? So you have to be incredibly careful when you're handling the stuff. And so I'm actually have night vision goggles doing all this so I can actually see what I'm doing and, you know, not get blood on film and stuff like that, because, you know.
No, it's film, film shooting, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about?
So, so the first alpha test was a huge success, and I'm very excited to just make a couple more. And, you know, it's kind of crazy. The length of 120 film is, I think, is like 2.5 feet as about. And that gives you 400 rolls in a 1,000-foot can.
Wow.
So that one can is going to do a lot of good. It was not cheap. That can was about $1,500-$1,600. But it's a lot of testing that I'm going to get out of that. So that one can is going to be hugely helpful. So I got to churn through them, and, you know, getting backing paper and spools and all that is going to be a big challenge, because if we're going to do this on large scale, we can't just, you know, solely rely on reusing, which is definitely doable, but, you know, it's not, you know, at the scale that now we're gaining popularity around, it's just, it's not doable. So I got to figure out who I can contact, see if I can get Harmon on the phone or something like that, and see if I can get backing paper from them or something, because it's going to be very interesting times. So.
Interesting. Challenging, but interesting.
Yep.
I mean, you can always go to Walmart and just buy some construction paper and just write the numbers on the back of it. You know,
sometimes that's it might have to come down to that in order to make it happen, right? That, like, because, I mean, a lot of it is, hey, and I acknowledge where I am in this world, right? I'm a small fry in all of this. So there's certainly a lot of crafting and ingenuity that has to go into, you know, some of these problem solving steps, right? So, you know, if we're not able to figure out a way with working with the traditional manufacturing processes, then, you know, I'll certainly look at, you know, what can we do with other routes and get crafty, right? So, yeah, that's pretty much what this year will be about. The target, I kind of announced it, you know, because we got 100-foot spools that we're looking to do within the next couple months, and then 120 is what we're hopefully looking to start getting into, I would say, beginning of next year.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Well, I'd like to. Can we say you heard it here first, Bill? Can we act like this is breaking news?
Sure. Absolutely.
Nice. Yeah, we are. On the cutting edge of all this. You know. At the cutting edge. The way I brought that around.
Oh, boy.
I didn't even know I did it. That's how professional I am. Like, you know. But so, Mike, Andre, you got any things you want to ask Bill before we move into some call-ins?
Well, I think we're ready to go.
Oh, see, you know, I set you all up for, like.
I got a question, though, but it's not. I just wondered, is that, Bill, is that 65 millimeter film, does it have sprockets?
It does, yes. So it is designed for, essentially, it is IMAX film.
Mm. Okay.
Yep.
So okay. Do the sprockets get cut off, I guess?
No. The 2 millimeters on each side is just before the sprocket. So actually have like almost like a millimeter on each end before you hit the sprockets.
I see. Okay. So you're going to get some, by default, some sprocket hole photography with it, in a sense, right?
Yep. The perfs do show up in the frames, but, you know, right. If you don't want that, you can crop in a little bit, you know, but it really doesn't intrude much on the frame.
Yeah. And, you know, with medium format, you got enough area there you can crop in, and you're still going to have plenty of quality. So, yeah, you got no problem with resolution. So, yeah, very cool. All right. Well, good question, Kooks, you know, and Andre. Yeah, come on, Andre, you know, but.
Well, Bill and I talk a lot about this outside of the podcast, so I feel like I've asked all my questions.
Yeah. It's more like Cinestill Film is just hoping for Atlanta Film Co. to fail.
No.
They're like, who's this guy leaving the Remjet on this film? What kind of craziness is this?
You know, people who reach out to us being like, hey, you know, I've got a bunch of Remjet film. Like, you know, can you answer some questions about the CS2 chemistry? And I'm having to be like, well, you're wanting to process a lot of Remjet film. This probably isn't what you want to pick. I recommend, you know, sending your film out to Dunwoody/Atlanta Film Co./Kodak Film Lab Atlanta, because they're the only ones that we can truly say is like actual Kodak ECN2.
So every time Andre gets one of these customer service requests about this, he immediately goes, damn you, Bill Manning!
This guy, I swear.
No, I want the customer to be happy, and the CS2 chemistry is not what you want to go for if you've just bought a bunch of Remjet film, because it's intended to be used one shot once you've exposed it to Remjet. So really my goal is to make the customer happy, and they're not going to be happy if they continue using our chemistry and then they start getting color shifting and density issues. So I'm more than happy to recommend them to really the only outfit in North America that can do the actual process as it was intended. So
I appreciate the recommendation. So means a lot.
And then when Bill gets customer service things about non-Remjet films, he says, don't use it. That Cinestill stuff is crap. And
no, we actually say, no, we can actually run that through ECN2 as well if you want to.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Your results that you've done with like 800T and 400D through ECN2 have actually been looking really cool.
Yeah, dude. It's pretty awesome. Even regular films, I think a lot of people don't realize this, is that even the normal traditional color negative print films actually do really well in these ECN2 kits. Because, I mean, you know, for ECN2, it's for ECP film and then or ECP prints, and then as well as for scanning, right? So, yeah, you're getting some really cool flexibility out of those images. We've seen some really cool things with like Superior and stuff like that have come through. It's fun and exciting when something different comes through, and then, you know, and it goes through not a traditional process, and they come out fantastic.
I got a good one you can use, Bill. If you want to discourage people from using that Cinestill stuff, you could be like, you don't want halation. Halation, more like hey later.
Wow. So let's go on to those call-ins.
Well, the last little kind of comment that I'll make, because I do get questions about it a lot, of people asking me like ECN2 versus C41. Mm-hmm. Really, I ask like, well, what's your intention? Like, do you want a lower contrast negative that you can potentially have a bit more flexibility with in terms of color grading? Then there's arguably somewhat of an argument for ECN2. If you've got Remjet film, then I definitely recommend that you do ECN2. But on the side of like a C41 negative versus an ECN2 negative, Kooks and I are, you know, probably not this trip, but probably the next trip that he makes out here, we're going to be going to a community darkroom that specializes in RA4. And I don't personally want to create negatives that I can't print well in an RA4 color darkroom. So it's not that one is better than the other. I just always use that as a jumping off point to ask the person more questions to figure out what their needs are, because that's really what's going to drive the recommendation more than anything else.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if the image is going to live in a quote unquote digital space, right, then ECN2 is definitely going to provide that flexibility for additional grading or, you know, editing. But C41 kind of already adds in that little bit of contrast that if you do intend to, you know, do RA4 printing straight from a negative and everything, then, you know, C41 is certainly going to be the better matched chemistry for that film. So it's always good to kind of think about the intentionality of what you're going to do with that image at the end of the day, right? So completely agree with you on that, Andre.
Hey, how about those call-ins?
Yeah, let's dive into the call-ins.
All right. Our first one comes from Mr. David Ortega, and he is calling in about the Canon PowerShot. This is one of those, it's one of the. It's not as hot as APS, but it's one of the hotter trends with these digicams. Let's see what Mr. Ortega has to say about the Canon PowerShot.
Hey there, Negative Positives gang. David Ortega calling in with a review. It's kind of different this time. I'll attribute this one to RoboTheo. And his craze for digital cameras. And, you know, these digicams and these CCD sensors, it's a new biggest trend in classic digital photography. today I'm going to be talking about the Canon PowerShot SD20. It's a tiny little camera, it's 5 megapixels. It doesn't have any viewfinder. It just has a little 1.5-inch screen, and it's a fixed lens. It's a 39mm equivalent in 35mm terms. It's actually quite compact. It fits in the pocket well, and it's not anything that like will get in the way. And it doesn't have like the weird zoom lens that like you have to finick with it. It's just a simple grab and go camera, I feel. It's a little tricky with SD cards because you have to get the older SD cards, the ones that are like less than 2 gigabytes, because if you try to put anything bigger than there or like any SDHC or the newer versions of SD cards, it like bugs out and it's like, it doesn't want to accept it. It's like, oh, this is too much. Doesn't even know how to read it, basically. But when I first got it, I picked it up at the thrift store, and it was actually not that bad because the pictures are a decent quality. Because comparatively to what we have on our smartphones, like the past 10 years of smartphones, the pictures haven't been great. And everything on Instagram is like compressed to like the tiniest bits of information. So the picture quality is not even there. So if you're just looking at it for a picture and like, at least the decentness of the like how it looks, it's actually not bad. Like 5 megapixels is enough, some people say. Like I have a like 512 megabyte card in there, like an SD card, and I think I can put maybe 200 images. And then like to tell you, it's like I spent like $12 to buy a charger and 2 spare batteries. It had the original, but the original kind of dies out a little bit fast. But yeah, there's still a company that makes batteries for these little things. So it's, if you're wondering, it's like, oh, well, I found this one but I don't have the charger or the battery's dead. I think it was like Kaiser was the brand that I used, that they still make they still source the chargers or batteries or something. I mean, it's not too hard. You just got to kind of get a lithium pack and put it into the size of whatever the battery pack was. But yeah, the camera's nice to like grab and go. It not having the viewfinder is kind of like lacking. I feel like I would want a little viewfinder so you can just put it up to your eye, but you kind of just like point it at what you're going to point at. And then if it's indoors, usually it's going to be flash because the highest ISO is 400. The lowest is like 50. And the nice thing is not a lot of cameras do this. When you shoot in black and white, it actually shows you the black and white thing. I know something like my Sony doesn't do that. Like it shoots in black and white, but it doesn't show you what you're looking at in black and white. I'm pretty sure there's other cameras that do it. I'm not. This is like my first Digicam that I'm like, oh, well, I picked it up just because it was cheap and, you know, everybody in digital film photography land is doing it, you know. Not like it's not as good as APS, because I don't want to say that, but you know, it's probably the next biggest trend in digital mixed media photography, you know. Yeah, so that was it. Don't let the big man get you down, and have fun. Shoot whatever makes you feel right, because I can't say film in this instance. Shoot a CCD. They still live. Don't throw them away.
All right. Well, thank you, David, for that call in for the Canon Digicam. Yeah, it is a big trend. Not as hot as APS, obviously. We know that, but as he said, truthfully. But yeah, I actually have an old Kodak, like a kind of a mega zoom, eight megapixel camera that I think it might be a CCD sensor, but I was able to do really good, a really cool infrared on it by just putting an infrared filter in front of the lens, and you could see on the display on the back that what the picture would look like in infrared. So it was really cool, and before you even took the shot, you could see how it was affecting the image in infrared. So quite enjoyed doing that. I need to get that thing back out. I bet you I probably need a battery for it by now. It's been sitting for years. You guys, any of you all shooting the digicams, is there any desire to do that?
No, I mean, I'm thinking of getting a new digital camera, but a modern one. I do have a pretty dumb question, though. What's the difference between a CCD and a CMOS sensor?
Well, the CCD was kind of the first ones. I think they kind of both, but CCD's kind of been replaced by the CMOS or whatever. But the way I understand it is, the CCD typically at higher ISOs would be noisier, so that's kind of why they went to CMOS, I believe, if I'm correct. I'm not a digital photography wizard, but that's what I've heard. But a lot of people like the way the CCD images are, because the colors in particular seem to be more film-like. And I also noticed on one of my early digital SLRs I had that had an old Kodak CCD sensor in it. It was an Olympus. And it was back when Kodak was making digital camera sensors, and it had a Kodak sensor in it. And particularly when I shot it in black and white, the noise, if I did bump up the ISO, the noise on it almost had like a more of a film grain look than what I'm used to seeing on a digital camera noise. And so I thought that was pretty cool. Like, I actually liked the grainy look of that particular sensor. But that's what I know. Maybe Mike or Bill knows more than me on that, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah, I know that CCDs use more power, and that was pretty much the deciding factor when it was how it captured light and everything. I honestly don't know the huge differences out of that, but I know for the pivot in the consumer industry was the actual power usage out of it. So CCDs just sucked up a whole lot of power. But interestingly enough, CCDs are actually still very much used in scientific areas where the rovers on Mars, they're actually modern day CCD sensors. So they're still very much in use. And I actually had a very expensive CCD. I actually had for a good while the Phase 1 camera system.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the IQ 140, which was a 40 megapixel sensor, and that was CCD, and just absolutely gorgeous colors that came out of that. It is a camera I regretted selling. If there's a day when I can afford to buy it again, that would be the camera, because just some of the images I got out of that were just absolutely stunning.
Wow. Oh, very cool. All right. Mike, you got anything? You want to go to the next call-in?
I should probably go to the next call-in.
Okay. Mike don't want any of that digital.
I'm not saying that. Well, I will say, we do have like a Canon G9 floating around the house. It doesn't get used a whole lot, but those things are kind of cool. That kind of fits in the Digicam era. But I don't know if that thing had a CCD sensor or a CMOS sensor, and I'm not sure. But I will say that I have a little Canon S95 that I carry, especially for work stuff. If I need to take a picture of part of a car or something to show a problem or to show some detail, And there's something about that camera. You put it on a tripod and just, you know, set the timer on it, and it takes really nice pictures for technical purposes, not necessarily artistic purposes. You know what I mean? So it's like it's really got a good use. And probably neither of those comments contributed anything to the conversation, so I should have just kept them to myself.
It's all good, man. All right. Well, next one comes up. It's from Richard Moore, and I got a big kick out of this one. It brings up a little bit about the famous colonoscopy episode. So I think I'll leave it there and let Mr. Richard Moore tell us. He just titles this call in "Odd Things." So let's just check out what he might have to say about this.
During a recent episode, the team discussed plans for the Silver Linings Project for this year to recognize and encourage donations to cancer charities. During this discussion, our esteemed captain was subject to, and perhaps encouraged, some ribaldry concerning his recent encounter with a camera heading for places where the Sony 16 reel won't work, however big or small the aperture. Some might consider such a medical procedure not an appropriate subject for discussion or indeed laughter, but I beg to differ. I suspect the listenership of NegPoz skews older and male. Not exclusively, but bear with me and forgive my outrageous generalisation. I don't think anyone would disagree that this demographic tends not to talk about their bits, and certainly not have a camera inserted where the sun don't shine. If we're cold, well, we'll put on a coat, rather than let anyone touch the thermostat. We'll do something silly in the garage, and convince ourselves that oil is the same as an antibiotic cream and just as good. Heck, some of us will even drink Miller Lite. But we certainly won't discuss something that is happening down there. There may be people who consider humour not part of the discussion about medical problems, but it is, and in the right circumstances, should be. Anything that makes it easier to talk about for people, men and women, is a good thing in my view. It helps to demystify it and remove whatever stigma some might think it has. So, when I heard Andre invite people to talk about the amusing side of such indelicate matters, I thought, why not? I did think about sending in an email so Andre would have to read it out, but hey, here I am talking. I even brought a proper mic for the purpose. So, hopefully, in the future, I will send in some proper call-in reviews. Personally, I took a PSA test early last year, better known as the prostate-specific antigen blood test, often given to men of a certain age. It's not an infallible test for prostate cancer, but it can be the canary in the coal mine. I'm a Brit living in the USA, and I really hope that saying actually means something, but it's a warning, it's an early warning sign, and I got my warning. And then a month later, when they retested me, I got an even bigger warning. So yeah, not what I would hope for. The next stage was a biopsy. Part of me wants to tell you exactly what happened, but I'm going to summarise. Basically, I had a camera, or at least the sensor part of it, inserted in my personal F16 aperture. Also something that takes samples of the prostate so they can check for cancer cells. Discomfort-wise, it was a bit like a trip to the dentist, but you're certainly turning a different cheek to the medical team. And you definitely won't be showing your friends the results of the treatment when you next see them. So, what could possibly be amusing about this experience, except for the sheer absurdity of it all? Imagine, if you will, you're lying on your side with your back to the doctor while he does this thing. I didn't get, or indeed ask, for any sedation, so it's a bit like when you're making small talk when you get your hair cut. I'll be honest, the conversation was a little stilted to begin with, as you'd expect. I mean, what are you going to talk about? Weather? Politics? What's his view like? And actually, I really know nothing about American sports. But my doctor recognised my accent and we started talking about the UK. Turns out he's a fan of the Manchester music scene of the 80s and 90s. Joy Division, New Order, The Smiths, and then the whole Madchester scene for those that know it. So there I am, camera up my ass. There's something sounding like a staple gun going off taking tissue samples, and we're discussing Morrissey. Not quite what I had anticipated, but to me at least an amusing turn of events. And no, sadly I did not get any photos. And yes, I did ask. In my case, the biopsy confirmed that I had prostate cancer, and thus I went on my own personal cancer journey last year, which resulted in successful treatment. I'm all in the clear now, and hopefully that's for good. I do, strangely enough, have another camera up the bottom story to tell you. And it took place at work, of all places. In a previous life, I worked for a pharmaceutical company who were big into bowel medications. As a rep, I had a lot of training on the procedures that doctors did, so we could talk to those doctors about the drugs we were selling. So imagine, if you will, me sitting in a classroom in an office block on an industrial estate on my own watching a training video. The video features a guy being examined with what is known as a rigid endoscope. It looks like a thin telescope with an eyepiece at one end, so the doctor can peer at one of the body's natural apertures. So that's me on my own watching a video of one guy looking through a long tube into the patient's bottom. I then hear a bit of a kerfuffle, a noise behind me, and I look round to the wide open window to see two very animated window cleaners wondering what the heck I'm doing watching videos like this at work. So why am I here telling you all of this? Firstly, to commend the team on the Silver Linings Project. Secondly, to encourage people to talk about their health, what they're going through, and laugh about it when they can. I've been very honest about my journey, perhaps too honest for some. But guys, you need to look after yourself. If testing is offered, get tested. Don't be embarrassed about it. Having lost one family member to cancer in the past year, I'm really quite happy to bang on about getting tested when it's offered to you, or if you have any concerns. Prostate cancer has a reputation as the cancer men die with rather than because of, despite being only second to lung cancer in killing men. I'll never forget my surgeon saying to me, "You know those people that can grow old with it? You're not one of them. You need treatment." Given that there has never been a better time to be treated for prostate cancer, don't wait till it's too late. If you've got any concerns, speak to your doctor and get tested. So finally, a couple of things. Firstly, keep up the good work, team. Secondly, if anyone actually wants to ask me any questions, be they a potential or actual sufferer of prostate cancer or a family member, feel free to contact me. You can find me in the NEGPOS Facebook group. I'm happy to talk about pretty much anything. Finally, on a completely different note, I thought I'd end with a short musical interlude. Don't worry, it's very short. My goal is to learn the piano accordion in retirement, which reminds me of an old joke. What's the definition of a gentleman? Someone who knows how to play the accordion, but doesn't. Anyway, just to sign off, here's the first time I picked up the piano accordion. There are plenty of bum notes. Mike, do you think I've got a future in music?
Wow. Well, thank you, Richard Moore, for has to be one of my favorite call-ins of all time. That was impressive. Maybe not his accordion skills, but wow, that was. But thanks so much for that. Like, just not only sharing your story, much like I did, but also just the. A lot of good advice in there as well for all of us to think about and definitely look into. That was just incredible. There's so much there to unpack that I just it's hard to wrap my head around just how good that call-in was. So guys, thoughts?
I mean, it takes a special set of skills to make talking about cancer particularly funny. The use of F-16 aperture to describe a certain entrance is something that I will not soon forget.
Kooks, Bill's so good. Been very quiet over there. So he's, I don't think Bill knew what he's getting himself into when he joined us tonight.
But I just love the concept of, you know, of laying there and then not being sedated and trying to find something to talk to the doctor about. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, right. Well, I think it's funny. Well, I love the fact that he's that they talked about Joy Division and New Order. I love those bands, but I will say that Morrissey is crap, and so I could see talking about him in that situation. But so. Bill, did you know what you were getting yourself into here tonight?
Well, I will say that I was definitely blindsided by this call-in, but I think the realization of me coming up on that ripe age of those types of checks is becoming very real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's it wasn't like, you know, I don't know if you heard it, Bill, but I had an episode where after I had my colonoscopy that we talked about it, and I went in great depth about it, and that's what spurned. I'm not gonna say that Richard Moore wasn't that he came up this I basically cracked the door and then he kicked it open, and I kind of left it open for people to do that. And Andre did call out people to send their own funny stories, and boy, Richard Moore did it. And I can just vividly see the scene where he's watching that training video and the window washers at the window. Like, that's it's got to be a little awkward.
Oh man.
Well, I'm glad to hear that his treatment was successful. So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, huge props to Richard for that.
Yeah, and also letting people know that if they're kind of dealing with the same thing in their life journey, that they can reach out to him to talk to someone about it. That's a very nice sentiment to put out there. So thank you, Richard Moore. That was excellent. But
you know what we should do? We should take like a page out of like the All Through a Lens podcast and put together one of those, like, you know, historically focused episodes on the history of
butt cameras.
That would be just the way you described that too, of like a telescope stuck up your back end and someone looking in the telescope. It's like a crazy.
Oh man.
It's like one of those old school technical drawings like that, you know?
I wonder when the telescope goes up there, if he goes to focus it, does it tickle a little bit? Like
Hey, can you open that up to F11? F16's a little small.
Oh man. You know, the worst thing that would happen would be like, well, you know, you've got a really wide aperture, so I think I don't think I'd want to hear that.
Oh my, that, oh wow, that is autofocus.
Oh man. Well, okay, so let's get on to why one of the main reasons we wanted Bill on here tonight, other than torturing him with something that he probably had no idea we were doing tonight. But Bill is giving away film from the Atlanta Film Co. and I believe some processing, right, Phil? Bill, like, what are we giving away here? Was it five rows? I can't remember what you said, to be honest with you. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, so it's going to be one roll each of what we offer. So that's the 200T, the 250D, 500T, XX, and then the Euphoric. And then now, well, we have, but wait, there's more. Now that we offer Koji on a limited time basis, we'll throw in Koji as well, and processing for each one of those roles. So that's what we're throwing in.
Very nice. Well, thank you so much, Bill, for doing that, man. Like, we normally on the big 100, 200, 300, 400 episodes, we always gave away a bunch of stuff. And this time we got lazy and we got cheap and didn't do it. And then you came and saved it and like actually offered to give something away for us. So, you know, we got to give you all the props for doing that, man. That was very generous of you and the Atlanta Film Co. guys, the team over there. So definitely appreciate you kind of keeping the tradition of us at least giving something away on the big milestone episode. So huge thanks to you for that, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you inviting us to do this, and this is just an opportunity for us to give back to the community, and very appreciative, showing our appreciation to the photographic community.
Thank you so much, man. I will say this. So I looked at the statistics of the 400th episode, and there was 1,900 supposed plays of that episode, right? That's a pretty good number for us, 1,900 listeners, right? But either you guys are downloading it and not listening to the episodes, or we have the laziest listeners on the planet. And I'm not sure which one it was, because we have literally 11 entries out of 3,900 people that supposedly listened. So 11 entries. So these people have just a slightly less than 10% chance of winning this film from Atlanta Film Co. Oh, so, man. Yeah. So, I mean, the 10 or 11 people that entered, you should have butterflies. You got a good chance here. So, but without further ado, somebody just needs, I got all the entries, the emails printed and folded up. I cannot see any names or anything in a prize box here. So all I need is somebody to tell me to shake that box.
And the winner is Andre Dominguez. What?
I'm still waiting. Someone has to call it out. You know?
Oh, come on. Shake that box, Mike.
Not enough. One more shake.
All right.
Easy there, buddy.
It's an end. Okay, here we go. All right. Unfolding. Who is the big wiener? The big wiener is Rafael Espinoza in Denver, Colorado.
Hey. Woo-hoo.
Rafael nice. Espinoza, congratulations. You are the winner of the Atlanta Film Co. Film and Processing. I will get Bill Manning your address, and we'll be good to go. Congratulations, Mr. Espinoza. So, very cool. How y'all like that?
Congratulations, Rafael.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Bill, for doing this, and I'm sure Rafael thanks you as well. So, but I'll get you his address, and it is getting late for Bill, so I'm going to let Bill get on out of here, and we're going to have another segment with some emails and stuff. But Bill, thank you for joining us tonight, and especially for giving away this film, and always a pleasure talking to you, brother.
Likewise, thanks for having me on, guys.
Where can people check you out and see all your what's all the socials you need people to know about?
So you can find us on Instagram, atlantafilm.co. You can check out our website, where you can order all the films, especially processing for those films, at atlantafilmco.com. For my shenanigans and film photography chat, and kind of let people in on stories on what I'm working on for Atlanta Film Co., you can find that over at Studio C41 or studio.c41 on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, Bill, there's only one last thing to say, and that is, hey, Lation, more like, hey, see you later. I screwed that up.
Yeah, you really did screw that
up. Hey, Lation, more like, see you, hey, later. There you go. That's
nope.
Good night, guys. Good night. Good night.
All right, folks, we're back for the last segment, and we got some emails to get to. The first one's from Phil, and I am going to butcher your name, brother. There's just no way around it. Kakoxka, maybe? I have no. No, it's K-O-K-O-C-Z-K-A. And I'm sorry, Phil. You know me. I'm gonna. You should have maybe told me how to pronounce it. You knew, maybe you wanted to hear me butcher it because that's certainly what I did. But he says it's titled Show Number 399. He says, "Hey, Gutter Man, dude, great show number 399. During the show, Andre lamented the fact that there was no wide angle attachment for his Rolleiflex. Lo and behold, there is such an attachment, and it's called a Mutar. Mutars come in two flavors, wide angle and telephoto. See attachment. They are an elusive animal and difficult to catch. And when one is found, be prepared to give one of your gonads for it." "I've been hunting one for quite some time now, and I've only found one for sale in a $1,000 price range. Too rich for me. Andre's recent trip to Rochester sounds great. And thanks for relating his experience. I don't usually correspond with podcasters, but I really need to compliment you on your Negative Positives podcast. It's one of the most entertaining podcasts out there. Keep up the great work and music. The Christmas medley played at the end of number 366 was great. Phil Kakakska." Man, I bet I'm really hitting that one bad. Mesquite, Nevada. So there you go. Well, thank you, Phil, so much. What a cool email. And that seems to be addressing Andre. Andre, are you aware of these Mutars?
I am. Well, only relatively recently I came up on one that was on the Camera Store website, which is the Finland-based retail arm of the whole Camera Rescue project. It didn't say what price it sold for, but yeah, I have heard that they are pretty pricey, and they also add quite a bit of weight onto the front of the camera, not like the nice svelte little Rollinar close-up filters. So, you know, it sounds like it may be a bit more trouble than it may be worth. But you never know. The good folks over at Scalani Opto Mechanics have been able to do some pretty interesting things for you know, the Leica M series. It's possible that they could work their magic on some Rolly stuff. You never know.
Oh, very cool. All right, well, let's move on to the next one. Next one comes from Mr. Robert Coates, and this is a cancer donation for Silver Linings. It says, "Hey, Mike, I made a donation to the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. I lost my sister to colon cancer a few years back. Thanks for putting this together." Well, sir, very sorry to hear about your sister. And Robert, thanks so much for donating to the Silver Linings. We have wrapped that up, and Kooks and I need to figure out who needs to send prints to and everything. So we're going to be trying to get that done in the next month or so. So, yeah, thanks so much, Robert. That's very, very kind of you. All right, let's move on. Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to this message from Mr. Matt Bump. He says, "Film issues. Hey, Gutterman, does film's rise in demand and production issues warrant the proposed price hike? My dog is not happy about it." There's a picture of his dog chewing on a box of Portra 400. And do you think the proposed price hikes are warranted?
Oh, man. It's a tough question. You know, there have been materials cost increases, transportation and fuel cost increases, labor cost increases. You know, that being said, there's a lot of complicated financial stuff with Kodak Alaris, and that could also be influencing some decisions with regards to pricing. Whether we like it or not, the price is the price. It's not likely to come down, and you can vote with your dollar as to whether or not you want film to continue to stay alive. And thankfully, black and white film hasn't been increasing as much as color. So, you know, that has definitely been influencing people's decisions in terms of what they shoot.
Yep. I actually did mention to Matt that he's one of the people that's been on my list to have on as a guest for a long time. And so I kind of shot an email back to him saying I need to get him on here at some point as a guest. And he sent me a response back. He says, "Haha, just let me know when you need me. I'll be much obliged to talk with the community about our film craziness. I just got rid of my entire film camera collection for the one. See photo below. My great grandfather's 3F, and now my MA. These are Leicas. I remember Andre talking in a previous episode about going the MA route and making it your own thing to pass on. Well, I guess I pulled that trigger. Still married somehow, too. Although she gets unlimited IROs for life. Cheers, but it's Bud Light. Cheers, but it's Bud Light for me tonight. Yeah, I can't get with you on the Bud Light there, Matt. But congrats on the Leicas.
Yeah, that's a great pairing, a 3F and an MA. Well done, sir. I've actually talked to Matt a little bit on Clubhouse recently in the past couple weeks. Very, very cool. And look forward to having him on the podcast soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Let's see here. Okay. Our next email comes from Ken Tuomi, and he also has donated to the Silver Linings Project. He says, okay, now this here is for the Silver Linings Project, and I want to get me one of those famous Gutterman fire escape photos off that HP Instant Ink printer. Y'all product tested. Gonna hang it with Kooks and Yessie One's prints from the first round. Gotta collect them all. Thanks for keeping the pod alive. You guys are the locus of what's fun and current in the analog film community. You're the Kimmel and you're the Kimmel and Rosso is the Carson. Keep it going, man. Ken Tuomi. I'll take that. Well, thank you, Ken, so much for your donation and the kind comments there. Really, really appreciate it. Next up, we have I got an email from Paul Friday. He says, hurrah, welcome back to the world of pod. This is came in after we took our little hiatus. I found you a new logo, and this is I've seen this in some craft stores, some hobby stores, but this is a Gutermann thread, and it's a picture of the Gutermann thread display in a hobby store here, and it says Gutermann Creative, and it says extra strong. So that's I had to save that picture, you know. So thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
And all right, next one comes from past guest Mr. Minson Sowers, and he says, "I'm not crying, you're crying." Is the title of this this email. He says, hey, Mike, I just wanted to drop you a note about how much I enjoyed and appreciated the 400th episode. It was awesome to hear all the co-captains on the line at the same time and to get the reflections on the progression of the show. I can't say that I was surprised to hear you considered ending the show at 400 simply due to the fact that from the sheer amount of work it must take. You are a better man than I, as I probably would have bailed a long time ago. Naturally, I would have been super sad if the show did end simply because I think of you all as the friends that got me through the pandemic with a modicum of sanity, but I would have understood. That being said, I am so glad you're finding a way to make producing the show less stressful, and I, for one, will be grateful for new episodes whenever they happen to drop. I also wanted to thank you, Kooks, and Andre for making the episode I was on an absolute. Blast. I don't know if you were experiencing show fatigue at the time, but you never let on if you were. I'll wrap up by saying that I'll forever be grateful to Mac Shoots Film for introducing me to the podcast Facebook group and restoring my faith in photography groups being a decent place to hang out. Thank you for creating this little corner of the internet for all of us to stay positive and shoot some cool film photos. Minson. P.S. Happy Valentine's Day to you all. So that's how long ago I got that email. So, well, thank you, Minson, for the nice note, man. And really enjoyed having you on. And we'll have to get you on a round table at some point. So there you go. But yeah, always definitely. one of the friends of the show. It's always nice to hear from him. So, all right. And the last one comes from, hopefully I get this name right. I think I might get this one a little closer. Mark Skulderman. And he says, congrats on the 400th episode. He says, hi, Mike and crew. Congrats on 400 episodes. Yes, I originally wrote this email for number 300 because he had 300 crossed out. So congrats on 300 scratched out. Did I say crotched out? Congrats on 300 crossed out. And then 400 episodes. Yes, I originally wrote this email for number 300, but was too late to send it. And then it sat around in my inbox until number 400 rolled around. So I'm finally updating it a bit and hitting send, finally. In 2018, I picked up my old Pentax SFX in 2018, and I figured out that I might as well put a roll through it. Out of interest, I searched for Pentax in Apple Podcasts. You can guess which podcast popped up. Started listening at episode one and was hooked. Well, I'm very sorry. Sorry about that, Mark, that you went through that torture. But the early episodes should get the credit they deserve, by the way. The introspective musings of a photography enthusiast who discusses things he struggles with. I recall street photography, water spots on negatives, the importance of framing photos was very relatable and made me realize this hobby isn't about judging photos on some perfectness scale, but that it can simply be about enjoying film and film cameras. Without negative positives, I'm not sure I would have dared develop my own black and white and colored film, use color filters in black and white photography, listened to Sea Hero for so many hours, participated in a photography challenge with Wendy Gunderson, have my photos adorn other people's houses, made actual prints in my bathroom, inspired someone else, Christian Hillen, to take up the hobby, realized how fragile moments in time can be. So yeah, make changes going forward, spend more time making music and shooting photos and less time editing podcasts, but I hope to still have the occasional new negative positives episode pop up in Apple Podcasts to remind me to stay positive and shoot some cool film photos. Stay positive, Mark. Well, thank you so much, Mark. What a nice note, man. And like it always, when we get emails like this, it always surprises me that we could have possibly inspired anybody to do anything. So, <Yeah. laughs> so that just always kind of blows me away.
And he did it all too, huh?
Right. Yeah. I think he's done more than I've done. And I do this podcast. So.
And I know that I like the fact that he mentioned the fact that the early episodes don't get, you know, enough credit. We often kind of joke about them, but I really do think that there was something special about those early episodes, and we wouldn't be here without them. Whether we like it or not, people are still discovering the podcast for the first time and going back and listening from episode number one. So, you know, to those people that stuck through those early ones and managed to glean something from them, you're welcome and thank you.
All right. Well, that's our emails. That's pretty much our listener interaction. I do want to put in some listener music at the end of this episode, and I think we're going to go with a track from Joe Pollock, and he has it's the last track that I've played several of his in the past, but after we get out of here, right before the ending music, you're going to hear a track from Joe Pollock. It's going to be called Christmas Eve on Daniel Street, and probably should have played this around Christmas, but you know what, it's getting played now, and get a little Christmas early, I guess. It's not really a Christmas song. It's just called Christmas Eve on Daniel Street. So, from Mr. Joe Pollock. So, thank you, Joe, for sending that in. Hey, this is my last track that you've sent me. So, if you have any more sitting out there, man, I could use them. I'm getting low on the listener music track. So, I'll insert that at the end of this podcast. All right. I do have a coffee donation I need to get to. We have a donation from Mr. Ruben Robles, and he says, hey Mike and team, thank you so much for all that you and your team do for the film community. Really enjoyed the 400th episode. Here's the 400 more, Ruben. Well, thank you, Mr. Ruben Robles, for your coffee donation. We really appreciate the support there. So and with that, we are through with all listener interaction, and we'll get that listener music track from Joe Pollock coming up just right after this. Folks, Andre Kooks, you all have a good couple weeks. Have a good time out there in California, and you guys on your hot date.
We'll be
that was coming.
We'll be recording a field recording on our hot date. Don't worry.
Oh, awesome! That's great. People seem to enjoy the last one, so yeah, that's good news. But all right, well, I guess we can get on out of here, folks. We will talk to you soon. We have some more listener episodes coming up from Dave Mahaly. I got one coming from Andre, one from Kooks, and then we'll have their hot date one sometime in the future as well. So look forward to that, and we will talk to you soon. Everybody, stay positive
and shoot some cool film photos.
All right, folks, we will talk to you soon.
is Mike Kukovica, otherwise known as Kooks, and you can find me on Instagram at The Drunk Darkroom.
This is Andre Dominguez. You can find me on Instagram at Andre on Film.
And I'm Mike Gutterman. You can see my photography on Instagram at GuttermanPhoto. You can email this program at negpositives@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group, the Negative Positives Film Photo Podcast Facebook group. We also have an Instagram account under the account name Negative Positives. If you submit photos to Instagram, think about using the hashtag Negative Positives. You can support this program on Ko-fi. That is ko-fi.com/negative positives. And you can get my music on Bandcamp at mikegutterman.bandcamp.com. Hey, Gutter Man Cave Production!